بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 29th of April in the year 2024 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 87th night that we're going through the illustrious and blessed life of the noble companion Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. So I'm steadily going through the fateful encounter at Siffin. So the next section entitled The Howling Night of Friday. After Sayyidina Ammar radiyallahu anhu's martyrdom, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu's forces naturally received a second wind, and thus the fighting continued for the first time throughout the night. So like I mentioned, I think briefly yesterday, with Ammar's martyrdom, this was a clear sign that Hazrat Ali was upon absolute haq. So it gave a further incentive for his force to now make a decisive front. And they were so enthusiastic, the command now was to continue fighting. Usually the fighting terminated at Maghrib. But for the first time on the third night, don't forget the night comes first, the fighting continued, now in the night. It is related, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu fought fiercely, pledging to fight until death. This is recorded in Hakim in his Mustadrak 3-402, but Imam Zahabi stated it is weak. So according to one report, Ali himself set the standard, Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu, he goes, I'm going to fight until the death. Such was the ferocity of the attack that it is authentically reported, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu offered the Maghrib Salah in the form of Salatul Khawf, the prayer of fear. This is recorded in Bayhaqi in his Sunan al-Kubra 3-252. And Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi authenticates it in Irwa'ul Ghaleel 3-42. So here, what does this mean? So obviously the prayer still needs to be offered. Salatul Khawf is the prayer of fear. And this is offered on the battlefield. And there's unique rules and regulations for this prayer, depending upon the severity of the attack. So if it's a very severe encounter, then you merely offer the Salat with movements of your eyes. You don't need to face the Qibla, you're engaged with the enemy, but you still pray. But if it's less extensive, then you can obviously get certain things in place. But Maghrib Salat on that third night was Salatul Khawf, showing the severity. Imam Shafi'i, he confirmed, rahmatullah alayh, it is preserved from Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu that he offered Salatul Khawf on the howling night. Recorded by Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayh in his Talkhis al-Habir 278. So one of the great Imams, Imam Shafi'i, said it is proven that Amir al-Mu'mineen offered Salatul Khawf on this night called the howling night. So why is it called the howling night? So Hafiz ibn Kathir in Al-Bidayah 7-283, he described that night, quoting, they fought with their teeth. The men would fight and then become weakened by fatigue. So they would sit and rest. And one would pour water for the other, who would in turn pour for the former. Then they would resume the fight. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we belong and to Him we shall return. They remained persistent until it was Friday morning and the people offered the Fajr prayer by gesturing the actions as their fighting was so intense. They continued to do so until the day became visible and the people of Iraq faced victory over the people of Asham. So let's look at this. So this is authentically recorded by Ibn Kathir in Al-Bidayah 7-283. So what's happening? Their fighting is so intense. But when they became absolutely exhausted, the Mujahids would stop fighting. And they start doing khizmat for each other. So they'll pour water for each other. and in turn he'd pour water to his brother, but then they'd resume the fight. And then it says, this continued all night until morning, Friday morning, and even the Fajr Salat was offered, Salat al-Khawf, gesturing the actions. And then he said, now this is an important point, it now became clear that Amir al-Mu'mineen's force was heading to victory. So at this point, it looked like for all wants and purposes that Amir al-Mu'mineen was now going to defeat, i.e. Sayyidina Muawiyah's force, radiyallahu. It thus looked to one and all that the Amir al-Mu'mineen's forces had prevailed. So the next section entitled, Arbitration, and how did this come about? This is a very important question. Subhanallah, it was shortly after the tragic martyrdom of Sayyidina Ammar radiyallahu that a truce was suddenly declared, which terminated the fight. This was arranged amicably by both sides. The famous incident mentioning the raising of the Mus'haf on spears by Sayyidina Muawiyah's side, radiyallahu, which resulted in the termination of the fighting, is fatally flawed in its chains of transmission. So this is now where the storytellers get involved. Unfortunately, the storytellers have done such a good job, people think that's history. So you ask a person who looks into history, how did the fighting terminate in the Battle of Siffin? How was a peace or truce declared? And they come out with this narrative. They state, oh, it was a trick. It was a trick. So let's mention some of these stories. For instance, in one of the fabricated reports, Ali is alleged to have said, radiyallahu, they never implemented the Quran before and will not implement it if they overcome us. They do not act by what is in it, and they do not raise it now except out of trickery, cheating and plotting. So where is this recorded? In Ibn Adi, in his Al-Qamil 2-386. So it's in the books. You can pick the books up. You can invent your own history. Is this authentic? It's fabricated. The whole narrative shows it's fabricated. What is Amir al-Mu'mineen accusing his opponents of? They never implemented the Quran. Think about that. Could you say that about the Sahaba? Hazrat Amr never implemented the Quran. Hazrat Muawiyah never implemented the Quran. Hazrat Hujr ibn, you know, etc., etc. And if they win, they won't implement it. So what are they going to implement? Bible. Then he's supposed to have said, they don't act upon it. They've only raised the Qurans. And this is a trick, cheat, and they're plotting. Also from the trash of history, A'udhu Billah, they assert that Amir al-Mu'mineen had described Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As' ingenuity like this. They said, Hazrat Ali said this, verily, it is a consultation born of a whore. Astaghfirullah. Verily, it was a consultation born of a whore. This is in Tabari in his Tariq 5-662. Again, it's in the books. Is it authentic? Fabricated. What is Amir al-Mu'mineen calling Amr ibn al-As's mother? Imagine. Consider coolly. Could such a vile statement come from the pure mouth of the venerable Amir al-Mu'mineen against such an aged and venerable companion, and then alleging that his mother was an adulteress? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us from such filthy lies. Imagine. So who they're targeting? So now you can work it out. Who's been targeted here? Amr ibn al-As. They say that he told Muawiyah the only way out of this predicament is if you quickly lift the Qurans, put them on the spears, and this will stop the enemy forces from proceeding further, and we can then declare the truce. invite him to the Quran. So it was a trick, and it worked according to the storytellers. Is it true? No. But then you look at the reports, he goes, it's in the books. Everything's in the books. From the authentic to the trash. Why are you quoting trash? Thus, the enemies of Islam broadened the scope of their propaganda against the illustrious companion, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu, claiming he was a swindler and a conniver. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us from such destructive and filthy thoughts. Ameen. So now think about that. You got to build a profile of the companions were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you go through their lives with authentic reports, you see the purity. Suddenly you come to history. They're deceiving, conniving, Amir al-Mu'mineen using basically filthy language. And that actually indicates he never trusted them. He always thought this person was munafiq. So you can see this is nothing but lies. But who is targeting the companions? Another fabrication is the report of the infamous Rafidi Abu Makhnaf. Think about that. How many times has he lied, swerved the history, and people have consulted? Is another one. He mentions that Ali radiallahu rejected the idea of referring to the Quran for judgment when it was first suggested by the people of Sham. Then he accepted it due to the pressure from the worshippers who later became the Khawarij. So how is this a fabrication? So this is recorded in Tabari in his Tariq 5-662-3. So how does that indicate fabrication? So it mentions he didn't want to open up a truce. But when his own Muslim forces, a section of them who later became Khawarij, said, you must, he only then opened up the peace truce, the truce of peace. How is that a fabrication? For if the Khawarij forced Ali's hand for arbitration, which this mentions, this report, then why shortly thereafter did they then ask him to scrap it? For it was against the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can look, you know, how simple is the matter. So then he goes, okay, so let me get this straight. He didn't want to open peace talks. Right, okay. So why did he open peace talks? Because his own men forced him. Because who were the men who forced him? Or they later became Khawarij. Okay. So let me get this straight. The Khawarij in his own force forced him to open the peace talks. Yeah. That shows it's a fabrication. Because why? How does that show anything? Because according to the narrative, who later asked him to scrap the peace talks? And he goes, the Khawarij. So make your mind up. They forced him into it, and now they're forcing him to scrap it. The simple truth of the matter is that this much needed truce simply came about how? Upon hearing of the tragic martyrdom of Ammar ibn Yasir, radiallahu anhu, it was the trigger. Once the Sahaba saw his martyrdom, they stepped back. Now they were really hesitant. So now, where is this recorded? So this is what I'm saying. It's so important to look at the references. In Ahmad in his Musnad, volume 2, page 163, number 957, with a sahih chain of transmission. Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf 11-240 with a sahih chain of transmission. So this is actually a hadith. It's in the books of hadith. Muhammad ibn Amr ibn Hazm rahmatullah alayhi, he relates. When Sayyidina Ammar ibn Yasir was martyred radiyallahu anhum, my father Amr ibn Hazm entered upon Amr ibn al-As and said, Ammar has been killed. And Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ammar would be killed by the transgressing party or the rebellious party. Because you know this Amr, radiyallahu anhu. Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As, he stood visibly shaken. And then he vomited. So in the report, does that sound like Amr? Or does it sound like, you know, he's putting Qurans on spears? Right? So look what's happened. You know, stopping the report. Mankum, Sahaba, from Say Tabi'in, Amr ibn Hazm. And he says, he's been martyred. And you know that Rasulullah said that the transgressing rebellious party would kill Ammar. Look at his response. He didn't just say, you know, show signs of grief. He goes, he was shaking. He became pale. Then he vomited, realizing the gravity of the situation which had now unfolded. He thereupon went to Sayyidina Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Muawiyah, seeing him in the condition, he goes, what's the matter, Amr? Radiallahu anhu. Amr radiallahu anhu said, Ammar has been martyred, radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Muawiyah was devastated, radiallahu anhu. And he reflected. After reflection, he said, what if Ammar has been martyred? Radiallahu anhu. So Amr said in amazement, I have heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Ammar would be killed by the rebellious party. Muawiyah thereupon said, O Amr, radiallahu anhu, were we the ones who killed him? Indeed, rather, it was Ali and his comrades who killed him. Why? For they brought him to war and they threw him onto our lances and swords. Let's look at this. So Amr, obviously, he's lost all strength now to proceed any further. Don't forget, he's 92, 93 years old. So obviously he's aged. He's now ill from what he's heard. So he goes to Hazrat Muawiyah thinking he's going to immediately terminate the fighting. And Hazrat Muawiyah himself was devastated. Why? Because obviously the hadith is clear. But then he reflected. And what did Allah Ta'ala put into Muawiyah's heart? Radiallahu. He said, we didn't kill him. Hazrat Ali brought him onto the battlefield and they knew that he's going to be thrown onto our swords. So he goes, that therefore cannot apply to us. The rebellious party, therefore, according to Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, was Ali's side. Was Amr happy with this? So that's a Sahih hadith. Another report. Where is this recorded? In Ahmad in his Musnad, number 6,499, 6,526, 6,927, with a Sahih ten of transmission. He wasn't happy. Hazrat Amr was not happy with this explanation. So he repeated what he said. And أَنَّحْنُ قَتَلْنَا إِنَّمَا قَتَلَهُ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِهِ. You keep saying this. Did we kill him? Rather, those who brought him out killed him. So let's look at this. So this is a Sahih hadith in Ahmad, in many places. Hazrat Amr repeated the hadith. So Muawiyah gave his explanation. He repeated the hadith. I've heard Rasulullah say, the rebellious party will kill Ammar. So Muawiyah responded with the same response. When he said it the third time, what did Muawiyah say? Radiallahu anhu. La tazalu ta'atina bihana. You keep saying this. I've understood. Then he said, Anahnu qatalna. Did we kill him? Innama qatalahu alladhina ja'u bih. Rather, those who brought him out killed him. I've understood. It is also authentically reported that Sayyidina Muawiyah repeated this statement at the watercourse from which both sides drank. He got this message across to Hazrat Ali's side. Refer to Ahmad in his Musnad 2-206 Hassan. So he not only got it across to his right-hand man Amr ibn al-As, he got it across to the opposing side. So now, what's happened? Have the Sahaba agreed to this? No, Ahmad is not happy with this. So there's another report. So this is recorded in Ahmad in his Musnad, number 6,929, Sahih. Hakim in his Mustadrak, 3-413, Sahih. Zahabi, Sahih. Hanzala ibn Khawailid al-Anbari, rahmatullah alayhi, relates. Whilst I was with Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, two men came disputing over the head of Ammar radiallahu anhu, each one saying, Ana qataltu, I killed him. So imagine, as Muawiyah is trying to explain, we didn't kill him. All of a sudden, two men come to Muawiyah and they're arguing. Because I killed Ammar. To which Abdullah ibn Amr, Amr ibn al-As's son, he heard this and he responded, each of you should rather prefer it was the other. For I have heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the rebellious party will kill him. Sayyidina Muawiyah thereupon got angry. He said, Allah tughni anna majnunak ya Amr. Take away your insane son away from us, O Amr. Then turning to Abdullah ibn Amr, Hazrat Muawiyah said, why are you with us then? Why are you on our side? Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu replied, my father complained to me to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ati abaka ma dama hiya wa la ta'asih. Obey your father as long as he is alive. Do not disobey him. Fa'ana ma'akum wa lastu uqatil. Thus I am now with you, but I'm not fighting. So look at this beautiful, reports. Where do you find these reports? Sahih hadith. Why are you going to the trash of history? Sahih hadith. So what's happened? Two men arguing over the killing of Ammar. These were the shaitans which the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abdullah ibn Amr, obviously, he's boiling over. So he goes, stop arguing. Give it to the other one. I heard the Prophet say that the rebellious will kill him. So Muawiyah gets angry. Why? Because he's undermining his authority. So he said to Amr, he's not even looking at Abdullah. He looks at his father, Amr. Allah tughni anna majnunak ya Amr. Take away your insane son away from us. Then he turns to Abdullah. He says, why are you with us then? In other words, if you knew that we are not fighting for the correct cause, why have you joined us? Then he explained something to him, Abdullah ibn Amr. He didn't know, Muawiyah didn't know the history. Abdullah ibn Amr said, my father complained to Rasulullah many years ago about me. And Rasulullah gave me a direct command. Ati abaka ma dama hiya wa la ta'asih. Obey your father as long as he is alive. Do not disobey him. Because I have to obey my father. And then he goes, therefore I'm with you. Wallastu uqatil. But I'm not fighting. Like we say, I'm just making numbers up. So now, how do we look at these reports? We look at the reports by saying that Hazrat Muawiyah believed firmly that he was in the right. And this was further proof of this. Because how could Muawiyah, you know, believe that the ones who he knew who had killed Uthman were on Ali's side, that the opposing side were on the right? He couldn't accept that. So he was trying to work out what had happened there. So he believed that the transgressing party were Ali. His force brought him and they threw him onto this, because we had no intention of killing Ammar. But of course, here the scholars have pointed out, this wasn't a correct judgment of Muawiyah. And the reason they say that is because the other Sahaba didn't accept this. They're not correcting Muawiyah, the other Sahaba. So just to mention this brief. Indeed, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said this, for he could not imagine that Uthman's murderers, whom he knew full well were within the ranks of Ali's forces, were in the right, in the light of the sacred ahadith, which proved that Uthman would be innocently and oppressively killed. Have you understood? That's why he's thinking like this. Definitely we know this, shaitan's on Ali's side. Definitely. And definitely they're responsible for the martyrdom of Uthman. So Hazrat Muawiyah is thinking, how can we be the oppressive ones? We're fighting for the unjust killing of my cousin. So this is why both Amr wasn't happy. Abdullah ibn Amr wasn't happy. Other people, but Hazrat Muawiyah was the Amir. But what now do you notice is going to happen? It's going to lead to a truce. There's no salt and pepper storytelling. This will eventually lead to a truce. They don't want to fight now. What caused it? Ammar's martyrdom. Simple as that. Somebody goes, what about the Quran and the spears? Put it in bin. Quran and spears, right? Where did they get all these Qurans from? Right? Your Taj company. You know, and you know, just everything about it, what you want about. Right? You know, subhanAllah, boy, again, is mentioned on the pulpits, is mentioned in bayans. So the storytellers have done such a good job there. Everybody's narrating it. But when you actually look into the chains of transmission, it's fabrications. Because you end up having to believe that the Sahaba started hating each other, doubting each other's integrity. And how could they do that when Allah has chosen each and every one of these noble souls? So all I mentioned today was now the effects of Ammar's martyrdom. I mentioned the howling night of Friday, because this was when fighting continued even during the night. And Ali's force was almost on the brink of victory. But of course, the martyrdom of Ammar is what eventually ended to the truce. And I mentioned briefly the lies about the Quran and the spears and some of the trash that mentioned in the books of history used to alert you to this. So don't propagate this. Highlight these are just nothing but lies. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa billahi minash shaitanir rajim, subhanallah rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asri innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa tawassaw bil haqq, wa tawassaw bis sabr, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.